Blog Talk Radio.
Of a breakthrough broadcast.
I'm Dr. Mary McCoy. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And to God be the glory for all that he has done. Yes, he has done great, and yes, he has done mighty things. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I proclaim to you today that he has all power in his hand. And whatever that you need from him today, I want you to know that God is able to move on your behalf. Whether it's big, whether it's small, whatever you may be going through today, I want you to know that you can get your breakthrough today as you tune in to the broadcast. We want you to let God be your center of attention that you can receive all that you need on today. And we just believe God to move on your behalf. We are so excited about what God is about to do today. Our topic for the breakthrough broadcast is Sarah, Mother of Nations. And our central truth would be we must be willing to respond to God's invitation. And if you would like to go back after the broadcast or while we are discussing Sarah's Mother of Nations, our study text will be coming from Genesis, the 17th chapter, 15 through the 21st verse. And then the 21st chapter of Genesis 1 through 7, and 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. We have three subtopics that we're going to be discussing today. And as we let you know what our topic is, we want you to welcome to our breakthrough broadcast Miss Helen Hooper, who will be discussing covenant partners. And we would like to welcome Elder Natasha Davis. And she's going to talk about the woman of promise. And our third subtopic will be coming from Pastor Lewis Malone. And we would like to welcome him also to the Breakthrough Broadcast. And he's going to talk about examples for Christian women. So why don't you get ready as you can come and go with us as we get ready to go before the throne of grace. By the way, call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. Come on, go with me as we get ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, good God, for all that you have done. Oh, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you today, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. And God, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord God, have your way today. Lord, we thank you. We reverence you. God, we praise you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh. God, we thank you, God, for being Jehovah Shalom. Father, we thank you for being our rock, our shield. Thank you for being our high tower. Lord, we just ask you, Lord God, just continue to cause us to praise you, God, forever and evermore. Lord, we pray, God, even now as our radio audience, God, as they tuning in, Lord, I pray that a change will be manifested in their lives. God, that faith will come alive, Father, God, today on this broadcast. God, your words say, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things are not seen. So, Lord God, as we discuss this word today, God calls God them to come alive in you and cause them to know that there is nothing too hard for you to do. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, we want to welcome you, our radio audience, to the Breakthrough broadcast. And we just thank God for you tuning in today. Yes, it's not too late. So call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Breakthrough broadcast is on the air. So getting ready to be blessed of the Lord as we go into our first subtopic, which will be covenant partners. We're going to go to Miss Helen Hooper, and she's going to talk about covenant partners. Miss Helen.
And welcome to our broadcast family and our listeners. Today I'm going to be coming from Genesis 17, 15 through 21, and I will be speaking on covenant partner. And it says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begot. And I will make him a great nation. And verse 21 says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And here we see God establishing his covenant with Abraham. He's promising the son, the promise of a son, the sign of a covenant, is what we see here in Genesis 17, verses 15 through 21. And I was reading, and as I was reading different versions, in verse 15, and I was reading, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, that means he included her in the promise, in the covenant. He included her because he needed her to bring this promise to pass. And she did become a mother of nations. We know the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. We know that God established a covenant with Abraham, and we know that Sarah did bear that son as we read on today and as we listen today, that she did bear that son. But in verse 15, it really stood out because he said, and as for your wife, he included her in the covenant to make her the mother of nations. And as we look today, we see everything that God promised Abraham. We see all those things have come to pass. We see all the nations that came out of a covenant that God made with Abraham. And today when we look at things, when God has given us a promise, some of us think because it has not come to pass yet, some of us might have done as Sarah did when she sent her handmaiden in to sleep with her husband and Ishmael came about. So we get in a hurry sometimes. Sometimes the devil will whisper in our ear, you know, it's taking a long time. And then we get in our flesh and we go ahead and we do things that God did not ordain, like Sarah did. But God still included her in the covenant. He included her in the promise because he said, with Isaac will I establish my covenant with. It wasn't Ishmael. It wasn't the young man that her handmaiden bore. She did that on her own. So God came back and he still established his covenant with Isaac, and it came through her. So when God gives us a promise, we just wait, we pray, and we see it unfolded. I don't care how long it takes. It says that Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. So, and they laughed, both of them couldn't believe, this can't be, because, you know, we're well past childbearing age. Sarah herself was 90 years old. I don't know of any woman, I've never heard of any woman bearing a child at that age. If she's talking to herself, she laughed at herself. Can I bear a son at 90 and my husband being 100 years old? But when God has promised you a thing, there is nothing too hard for God to do. When he has promised you a thing, you can look for it to come to pass. Sometimes we do things that throw us off a little bit, and we get it off track, and it takes longer sometimes. But when God has given you a promise, he cannot lie. We do things to throw ourselves off. And I hear some people say, well, you know, somebody told me something and God had promised me, and I haven't seen it yet. God cannot lie. It is not him. It can only be you. God doesn't tell lies. He cannot lie. So Sarah got in a hurry, and we see that Ishmael came on the scene, but God still included her in this covenant and made her the mother of nations that we see today. He said he was going to bless Ishmael, and he did that. And that's another thing. Sometimes we get in a hurry and do things, God, when I have us to do. People marry people they're not supposed to marry. They connect themselves with people they're not supposed to connect themselves with. They go out and do things that they're not supposed to do. But if you are a child of God and you believe in his promises that he's given you, believe in his covenant, and you're living clean and holy, and you're living by his word and what it says, if he has given you a promise, he will still make it good. Even though people sometimes marry the wrong people, God ordains marriage. So guess what? He is going to bless it because you're married to that person. He ordains marriage. Not that I tell people all the time, you know, sometimes, no, all the time, we get what we want. We never get what we deserve if we don't wait on God because we're in flesh and we move way ahead of him thinking that this is the best thing when it isn't. So we see here that God is establishing his covenant with Abraham and Sarah. He's changing their names. He's changing their names from Abram to Abraham. And Abram means exalted father. But when he changed it to Abraham, it meant father of nations. Even though her name was Sarah, he changed it to Sarah, and Sarah means princess. So we see here God establishing her as the mother of nations. God gives all of us promises. I saw some things this week that God had promised me years ago, and I know it's been over 10 years, that somebody's prophesied to me that I saw come. I'm just seeing them now come to pass. I did not know how it was going to happen. And I told God when he said it, well, I don't know how that is going to happen. I wasn't even in the state of Florida at that time. But it took all this time for God to put things in place and place me in the right place and connect me with the right people to do what happened on this week. And it was awesome. And I could not do anything but thank him for it because he promised me over 10 years ago that this would happen. And then he sent another prophet this week to tell me that is just the first round. So the things that he promised me, I see them coming to pass, but I know that he promised me other things to attach to go along with what happened this week. So I'm looking for God's promises. So we are men and women of God, and we are in the faith, and we believe his word, and we stand on his word, just like Sarah did. She believed him. It was unbelievable, but she believed it. She still believed God. She still believed his promises. So that's what we see God right now. He's making his covenant known. He's putting this thing together, and he is blessing Sarah's womb that she will bring forth Isaac to do exactly what he has planned to do. So God always have a plan. When he gives you a promise, look for it. Just wait on God. Get with him. Wait on God. Don't go run before him like Sarah did way back with her handmaid. Wait on God. And we see still he made her the mother of nations. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We'd like to thank Ms. Hooper for showing us and giving us insight as to how God will move in our life. You know, the word of God says he is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You know, even as Ms. Hooper was speaking, it just came, the Lord just brought it to my heart that it's time for us to take the limits off of God. We have so many limits, things that we think God is going to do in our lives and things that we're not sure what he's going to do. And when we look at Sarah, we look at Abraham, you know, as Ms. Cooper has said it a few times, she was talking about the age of Abraham. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah, 90. Now, they weren't that age when God made a promise to them. But you know what? I believe that God wanted to create a faith. God wants to build them up. God wants them to know how to wait on him. God wants them to know how to be encouraged. God wants them to know how to know that he is God, and he is God all by himself. Even if you almost in the rocking chair stage, even if you almost cannot in the natural bring forth a child when everybody said no. You even, I've heard people, they get a certain age and they look at people strange, even when they say that they are 50 years old and about to have a child. But you know what? God is so magnificent. God calls this woman that was 90 years old to be able to conceive and to have pleasure and to have enjoyment and to be able to have a child, that promised child, not the Ishmael child, but not the child of the bondwoman. We thank God for Ishmael because it was Sarah and Abraham doing in the carnal, not waiting on God. And even as we see that it's time for us to wait on God, it's time for us to seek first the kingdom of God. It's time for us to believe God's word, to believe what he said he's going to do. No matter how long it takes, we have to wait on God. And I'm truly thank God that this woman of nations, Sarah, the mother of nations, she was able to bring forth at that appointed time. It wasn't her time. It wasn't what she wanted to happen. And a lot of times it's what we want to happen, but what is it? What is it that God wants to happen in our lives? What did God want to not only prove himself to Abraham and Sarah, but there were other people around him that God wanted to be glorified and that God wanted to be praised. So therefore, I thank God that what God said, he was able to perform it. Somebody would shake, would have just begin to just shake their head in not amazement that this thing going to happen. And then they probably couldn't even conceive in their eye, in their mentality, what God was about to do. But you know that it is written that Sarah and Abraham brought forth this child, Isaac, and which was the promised child, and that she was the mother of nations. I believe that this is something that will build our faith, and we need our faith to go to that next level. We should never get common in our faith and believing what God can and what God will do. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. He said, the seek and you shall find, and to knock, and the door shall be open. Let me just put a pin there. Let's go to that next panelist as the Lord began to use them to talk about the woman of promise. We'd like to just take this opportunity again to welcome Elder Natasha Davis to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Elder Davis.
Well, good afternoon, Pastor McCoy, and good afternoon to our panelists on today, and good afternoon to you, our radio listeners, Breakthrough Broadcast family. I want to share with you our subtopic today, Woman of Promise. We're reading from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, reading from the New International Version. And the Bible reads as such. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his own age, at the very time that God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears this will laugh with me. And she added, Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would have nursed children? Yet I have borne a son in my old age. I say amen to the reading of God's word on today as we discuss being a woman of promise. As I meditate on the word of the Lord today, I'm reminded that Sarah did not have a perfect walk with God. In fact, that her and Abraham both were faced with many challenges. And sometimes we give up on God because of the challenges that we face. And today I'm so thankful to the Lord that he is a God that is faithful when we are not faithful. I recall that when Sarah and Abraham was in the land of Egypt, they both lost sight of who God was. They lied to the king and said that Sarah was Abraham's sister, so that they wouldn't be stolen, or so that Sarah wouldn't be taken from her husband. But God was so faithful to Sarah, even at the time in the absence of her husband, when she was taken to the king's chamber. God had already put in the heart of the king to let him know, don't you touch Sarah. That is not his Abraham's sister, but indeed that is his wife. And so when God began to give Sarah the word that he would, that she would bring forth a son, in my imagination and my personal experiences, I can believe that Sarah began to wonder in her mind how God would forget about her because she had been unperfect, or that the time had gone on. And sometimes we make up in our minds that a certain thing is not going to happen because of our imperfections and because of the things that we do to get outside of God's will. Sarah, again, she got out of side of God's will by taking her servant Hagar and proposing that her husband have a child from her servant, and maybe that would be the promise that God spoke about. But one thing about God is that God is after us to trust and rely on him. There are plenty of times that day by day that we grow impatient, that we are fearful, and that we lack faith. And so the promises of God are not according to what we do. The Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. And so God is God all by himself. Whether you're good, whether you're faithful, whether you believe him or not, God has a way of just letting you see and know that he is God. And so God fulfilled his promise in Sarah's life, just like he fulfills the promise in our lives day by day, just to let you see and that you know that he is reliable, that you can trust him, that you can lean on him, and that you, and that God is faithful. The fact that he wakes us up every day, the fact that he provides clothes, the fact that he allows us to have strength in our bodies. God is proving himself to be faithful, and that his promise shall come to pass. Regardless of what you do or who you are, we are all children of promise. There are men of promises. There are women of promises. We have our children. Our children, our offspring, our promises of God. The fact that God allows us to trust in him. David said this. He said, I would have fainted except or unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. During these times and of trials and tribulations, we begin to recollect and see that I was without a job and God provided. I needed somewhere to live and God provided. So in my mindset, it would have me to know that that somehow Sarah was able to believe God even though she was 90 years old in her own age. I believe that some point in her life she began to think about how God had delivered her out of the hand of the Egyptians. I believe that Sarah began to think about how he was merciful unto her when she conjured the plan that brought Ishmael to the earth. So I believe that Sarah understood after so much time. Today you might be listening today and realize that you are a daughter of promise, you are a son of promise, or a man or a woman of promise, simply because you were able to look back over your life to see how God has brought you out of circumstances and situations. Even though you made promises and vows to God that you were going to tithe, that you were going to stay faithful, that you were going to attend church, that you were going to read your Bible, that you were going to show up for prayer, even though you had every excuse and you were not faithful, you did not
not stay true to your word to God, but God kept his word to you. When you should have died in an accident, when you should have died on an operating table, when the husband or the wife that you thought was going to take your very life, God sent an angel to protect you, even though, amen, glory to God, that you were not faithful to him. So God is a God of being faithful and true to his word. So today, just understand and know that as you begin to think on the word of God on today, understand if God made you a promise, his word is true. The Bible says that he that promised is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to perform, and God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think according to the power of God that is at work in you. So believers, and even if you're thinking about being a believer, even if you don't know the Lord today and the pardon of your sin, even if you're listening to this broadcast some type of way, you found yourself listening to this broadcast on today, even if you're not born again, if you straight away from God, the fact that God kept you is a clear indication that God has kept his promise to you. Even when people say that you should have died, or even when doctors have given up on you, even when you shouldn't have been hired on a job that you don't even qualify for, even when you messed up, God has already let you know that he's going to be true to you, that he's going to be faithful to you, even when you're not faithful to yourself. I would recommend that you choose the Lord today. I would recommend that if you forgot about the promises, if you gave up on promises today, I want to provoke your faith to get back in a position to just understand that even though what you're asking for, what you're seeking for has not yet come to pass, just remember and always keep from what he's already done for you that God is promised. He is a promise keeper. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God for those promising and encouraging words. I thank God because God, he is faithful. We serve a faithful God. And even as she was speaking, you know, the Lord has brought that scripture to my mind and to my heart. I will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we get in circumstances and situations in our lives, and we think God is not there. We think God is not going to carry through. God is not forgotten about the promises that he has made to us. And we want just to be faithful to God. We need to know that God, he is God, and he is God all by himself. We have to trust God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. I heard the woman of God talk about Abraham and Sarah, and how Abraham and Sarah, how they both lied when they were saying one was his sister, when Abraham was saying that Sarah was his sister. I believe God was bringing about perfection in their lives. When they was imperfected, like we all are, God want to show perfection. God want to give perfection in our lives, knowing that we need a closer walk with God, need more of God anointing and more of his word within us. I believe Sarah, and I believe that she had some things that God was working on inside of her, those imperfections, those things that were not perfect, just like it is in us today. I just believe that even as the woman God talked about the Ishmael, how she had given her servant to Hagar to her husband Abraham. You know, when we want things so badly, sometimes how far will we go to make things happen, even if it's not right? How far will we go to just make things go our own way? You know, we can make a mess in our lives. We can create problems in our lives. When I think about the Ishmael experience, when I think about Sarah, the things that happened to that young boy, his mother, because she wouldn't wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't wait on the Lord, and we're not being encouraged because of what we want to do. We want to have it our way. When God has already promised us that he has a situation in hand. I marvel, even as I think about Ms. Hooper, the things that God has done in her life. When I think about Elder Natasha, the things that God has done in her life. When I think about Pastor Malone and myself, the things that he has done in our life. You know, God is creating within us the way that he wanted us to be. You know, where it won't be Dr. McCoy anymore, but it will be the Christ that lives within. You know, just like what Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's the Christ that lives within, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I will live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. And I thank God that God just want to make us better. And God wants us to be able to trust him. You know, we let us know in those imperfections, the perfection of our life, that she really did not trust God to the extent and a portion in her life. Because when you think about it, what woman would give their husband to another woman? She wanted so desperately until it didn't matter. It didn't matter at that time. All she could see is having that child. But it wasn't that time. It wasn't the way that God had for them to have this child. It wasn't what God wanted for them. He wanted for them to have the child of promise, that child that he had promised them, that covenant that he had made with them, that agreement that he had made with them, and the same agreement that God had made with Abraham and Sarah. It may not be for a child. It's something that you know God has promised you. Something that God has told you that it's going to happen in your life. But you see, Pat McCoy, it's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. It hasn't happened. But we have to wait on God. And he gets her. I mean, we have to learn how to wait on God. So the last 10 minutes of this segment, we're going to go to example for Christian women. And we're going to go to Pastor Lewis Malone, and he's going to be coming from 1 Peter 3rd chapter 1 through 6. Let's again welcome Pastor Lewis Malone to the Breakthrough Podcast.
Good evening to you today. It says truly a blessing to be heard once again, be amongst and not to be the guest of honor at a funeral today being talked about. So God bless you all, Dr. McCoy, Ms. Hooper, and Elder Davis, and to all the listeners to this Breakthrough Broadcast. I'm kind of delighted to have this topic today. There's a lot of times I've spoken to many people on such topics, especially men. The husbands need to understand about that submissive woman. But we're not going to hold you too long. We're going to go into, because she said, gave you 10 minutes. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher. I love to talk, so 10 minutes is all right for right now. But anyway, we're coming from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through 6. And the Bible reads, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adoring let it not be that outward adoring of plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And say amen to the reading of the word. Now, here we are talking about when it says likewise, it means the same manner, as was said in verse 1, and which refers us back to chapter 2, which was discussing separation. And conversation would be, you know, better translated as behavior. And separation and conduct are blended together here in this chapter 3. I recall Paul talked about the same thing here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, but the difference was, although Peter talking something totally different than what Paul was talking about, Paul dealt with a relationship between a Christian wife and a Christian husband, and where both of them were filled with the Spirit. Now, the entire section of Ephesians begins with being filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, what are you to do? And Paul says that a wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And he tells the husband to love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave his life for it. He is speaking of a Christian home with both the husband and wife are Spirit-filled believers, and a relationship is one in which the man loves his wife and willing to die for her. Now, in the sense of the marriage, you know, there's an order in which there must be a head. And in the marriage, that head was given to the husband. When the wife is told to submit, however, it is it's not to be like a obedience like a child. Although so many men take on this this understanding that the wife is to be obedient to him like he's dealing with his own child or whatnot. But submission is voluntary. This is something that you have to voluntarily do. Paul is saying to the wife, submit yourselves to this man that loves you, that wraps his arms around you and says he loves you, then you should, you know, say, I love you too. Kind of responding back to the man. You know, whenever you have someone, like the main thing is having a Christian husband, and he presenting himself and living a life before you to which you would want to submit to him. This is nothing that a man has to make his wife do. One of the things I always say, if you tell her to do something, she don't do it. If she say no, then what you gonna do? You the head of your house as long as she lets you. See, we shouldn't have men should not have to force our lovely women into doing anything. We should live a life before them that they would want to and voluntarily submit to us. Now, I know when I got married, and I didn't come up preaching until after about 12 years after me and my wife was married, and she didn't feel she was called to be a preacher's wife. And one thing about it, you had to hold your position. See, God called me, then called my wife. Now, when I come home, I'm not looking for no president a deaconess board, a missionary society. I'm not looking for no soloist, no pianist, none of that. You don't have to work in the church. I'm looking for that wife that I married. I can come home to and put my arms around her until I love her. See, that's the physical relationship in a marriage. And see, we have to understand that when we're talking about Christian relationships, we all are submitting unto God and we follow the word. But as we look at verse 1, it kind of shows us that we're not talking about two saved believers. It's kind of showing that the wife, she's here, there's a wife and a saved wife and an unsaved husband. And the wife obviously became a Christian after they were married. Now, because she became a Christian after they were married, is she to become a preacher to him now? Which, you know, we have so many where they'll lecture their husbands about the gospel and about God and everything, telling them what they need to do. But there's a text that says that she goes just subjects herself to her husband, that if any, listen to what it says here, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by a conversation of the wife. And he's talking about the behavior of the wife. But also, but the wife should always maintain the behavior of a Christian woman. She should always be submissive to the man. Now, because he's not saved, don't mean you take away the headship from him in your marriage. And it doesn't mean that you sit here and be preaching to him every time you turn around, talking about what he should do, how he should be, and he should accept Christ, because it's not going to get you anywhere. If you hadn't gained him to Christ before you got married, it's surely not going to happen once you get married. And first of all, you shouldn't be marrying a saved one, shouldn't be marrying an unsaved. But see, this is a different situation. Both of them was unsaved, and then this one got, the woman got saved, and now the man, trying to get the man to get saved. But here, the woman ought to continue to do good, to have a good behavior, and to allow the man to be the man. Now, when it says submit to him, well, let's say if the husband asks you to go to a nightclub and have a few drinks. Now, is the woman should be submissive to that? Come on now. I know some may think, yeah, and there's plenty of counselors out there that would tell the woman that she should do that. No. It's one thing, we are not to follow anything that's contrary to the word of God. And that is not the ways of a Christian woman. I can't see a Christian woman sitting up in a club drinking drinks, getting drunk, wearing all kinds of, some men like they women to wear skimpy clothes and wear them high heels, looking like a lady of the evening, if y'all know what I'm talking about. And that is not the ways of a Christian woman. Those are not examples of a Christian woman. So, no, she is not to do that, those types of things. And, she is to do, her behavior should be unto God, not that man. And that man should see. And, as a wife, live her life very careful before her unsaved husband. Her preaching is not going to get it. We can cancel that right now. You have to use what they call wordless sermons. Wordless sermons is that you live the life before them and let them recognize and see the change. Verse 2 says that while they behold your chastened conversation coupled with fear. What Peter's saying here, that the husband will recognize that you have changed and want to live a pure life for God, and that you no longer want to be a part of those things of the world. And that's a testimony which you can give to him. The woman can give to him. All right. There's plenty of women that think that he may not be saved now, but we go ahead and get married and I'll go ahead and change, get him a change over to God. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. If you don't get him a change before you get married, it ain't gonna happen. And so many think that, and they think that they think that men will change. Women marry men hoping that they'll change. Men marry women hoping that they don't change. That's one of the things that a lot of us don't understand. We don't want to, we want what we want. When we marry a woman, that's what we want, period. You don't need to change. Sometimes we have to change, everybody has to change, but men do not like change in a woman. And here, a lot of times they think that, if their life doesn't show an example of living well for Christ, then that man would never see that. And a lot of times he will change because of know that you're living for Christ. Then verse 3 says that whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold and putting on of apparel. That outward look is never going to get it, because one thing about it, you look good for a time, but Father Time and Mother Nature takes over. That figure 8 hourglass body turns into a picture A lot of folks walk around here with these tattoos on of a small rose, and that rose gonna be a rose bush in years to come. So don't get caught up in thinking that that's gonna win nobody to Christ. Yeah, that look ain't gonna do it. And if you ever seen the pictures of them old Romans, the Roman women, they had a whole bunch of hair. And matter of fact, they loaded their head full of hair that wasn't even their own. And the same thing we're doing today. Some women doing it today. They call it weave now. They put all that stuff in their hair, put jewelry in their hair. And it, you know, they put so much emphasis on the hair and the dress. And if an unsaved man is going to marry you, he cannot be one to Christ. If he's not going to do it, not with your sex appeal. That's not going to happen. If he's not obeying the word, he's not going to do it by just because of the way you look. And he says, instead of saying that, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Woman are to wear that ornament on the inside. That inside beauty of that woman being submissive to that man, doing what she was, not tit for tat in an argument, not trying to take over the man's position and tell a man what he's not doing and what he needs to be doing and all that. And see, the Bible don't prohibit you from putting on, you know, makeup, present yourself a little bit better. Because, you know, we had to work with what we have. You know, sometimes we don't have that much to work with. But we always have, there's something out there that you can use to make yourself look better. And I don't know if y'all know who Alexander Pope is, but he said something as to, he said, be not the first by whom the new are tried, nor yet the last to lay the old aside. So you got to be in style. Dress up, you know, have yourself together. Let me tell you something, I ain't worried about what I look like. Man should be looking at my inside. Well, I'm sorry, only God can see your inside. That man, he got to see that outside before you get close to knowing what's on the inside of you. And, you know, it's in verse 5, he says that, and for after this manner, in the old time, holy women, also who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. There are so many different women in the Old Testament. They talked about Ruth was one of them. Talked about Rachel, how beautiful she was. Jacob fell in love with her, and she was the bright spot of his life, in Jacob's life. And y'all know Jacob's life was all dark, but she was the bright spot of his life. And verse 6 says that even as Sarah obeyed Abel, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with amazement. Here it is. Sarah looked up to Abraham to the point to where she called him Lord. Abraham didn't make her call him Lord. He didn't look at her as a servant. Abraham lived a life that was him looking up to Christ, looking up to God, and serving God and doing what God told him. And guess what? Sarah fed into it. One thing about it, women should not marry men that's not leading them to Christ. That's the number one problem. If your man cannot lead you, you don't need to be with him. If you can't trust him to lead you, then you shouldn't be with him. And if you can't submit to him, if you can't get under his mission and to be a helpmeet to him, then y'all do not need to be married. One thing, we cannot be unevenly yoked. And even as it says in Deuteronomy about you don't want to have, what it says in 22 and 10, it says there's that thou shalt not plow with an axe, with an ox and an ass together. And we know there's a lot of them out there today where ox and ass is mixing together trying to plow. That ain't going to work. But Christian women are to submit themselves until their own husband, and they are to live the life of a husband as a Christian woman. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank the Lord today for Pastor Malone. We talked about the example of the Christian And we all have to be an example to the unbeliever. The Bible said to let our light so shine before men that others will see our good work and to glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to be example as Christian women, and we need to be an example as men. It doesn't matter, but we're talking about the example for Christian women. But we all need to make sure that we all are examples to the unbeliever. I would like to go to Ms. Cooper, and we're going to just take 1 minute, and we're going to ask her, why is it important for us to be submissive and obedient to God? And then I'm going to follow that with Elder Natasha David. We're going to Ms. Helen Cooper.
I think we have to be submissive to God, first of all, because He is our Heavenly Father. He is the author and finisher of everything in our life. And in order for us to get the promises, to get the blessings, to live the life that He would have us to live the word that He set forth, we have to be submissive to Him. We have to be open to Him because we're not in control of our lives. Some people think that they are in control of their lives, and they go out and they do things like we were studying today. They do things way ahead of God's timing, and they get all off track. They get things off track, and God has to put them back on track. But when we're submissive to Him, we're open to His, to whatever He has for our life. We're open to His plan, and we're listening to Him, and we have open hearts, open ears, so He can use us the way He would want to use us, and He can get us to that place in life where we need to be, because there's other people that we have to walk to their victory. We have to help. Everything is not for us. We have other people's promises in our hands also. That's why I believe we have to be submissive and open to God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms.
Hooper.
We're going to go at this time to Elder Natasha, and we're going to ask her that same question. Why is it important for us to be submissive and obedient to God?
I echo everything that Ms. Hooper said. With God being our Heavenly Father, Jesus said and referred to us as little children, and it said that except we come to Him as little children, we won't be able to enter in or see the kingdom of heaven. And so the importance of that is to realize that we are not of ourselves, but we come from God. I believe the scripture says that we have not created ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. So if the importance of being humble is that it being humbled under the mighty hand of God, that we'll be exalted in due time. So without being humbled, we operate in pride and we run the risk of being outside of the will of God because we've lifted ourselves up. And so just like children do not tell the parents what to do, we ought to be submitted and respect and honor God as our eternal Father so that we can live according to the way that He wants us to live and not lead our own ways. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Natasha. Pastor
Alonzo,
yes, ma'am.
Same question, why is it important for us to be submissive and obedient to God?
Well, it's important because of God has the plan already planned out for you. He has everything in His hand, and if we submit to Him and follow His plan, then we can reach the goal and we receive the promises and we will serve the purpose in our lives. Always, when you, as I said before, you know, He is the Father. He created us, and He knows what He wants for us and what He wants us to do. I can't see making something and it's not obedient to me. I said it with my children. I said everything in my house would obey me. You know, and it's not a forceful thing, you know. Well, to some extent it is. But when they get older, it's a voluntary choice, a choice. And I pray that by me being faithful and being true and honest with them, then they will want to be submissive to me. And that is where God is faithful to us. He's never lied to us. He's always taken care of us. So that's why we should be submissive to him. Back to you.
Thank you, Pastor Malone. We have about 25, 23 minutes. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And we just want you to know that we're just so happy that you tuned in on today on Breakthrough Broadcast. We thank God for Pastor Malone, for Ms. Helen Hooper, by Ella Natasha Davis. And we want you to join us on next Saturday at the same time as God again come and move in the midst of his people. For the word of God say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn away from his wicked way, then when we hear from heaven, he will forgive the sin and he will heal the land. This has been Dr. Mary McCoy, the Breakthrough Broadcast. Please tune in next week at this very same time. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.